Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Hello, and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Annika Smith with the Center for Science and Culture here in Seattle. And joining me today is our newest addition to the center staff, Joshua Youngkin, who's assisting Casey Luskin with public policy and legal affairs. Josh, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Annika. Thanks for having me.
We're looking forward to hearing what you can share with us and having you on a lot of future programs as well. We're talking today about the bill that recently passed in the Tennessee State House promoting academic freedom in the science classroom. First off, Josh, what can you tell us about the effect this bill will have if it becomes law?
Well, the purpose of the bill, actually, I should start by saying, is to enhance the critical analysis abilities of students, particularly with respect to science education, the ability of students to handle controversy civilly and express their differences with a calm and rational way. Toward that end, the bill permits teachers to teach both sides of scientific controversies, such as human cloning, global warming, evolutionary development, and the chemical origin of life. The bill also restrains school administrators and other governmental principals. Bodies that control and regulate the teaching of that goes on in the classroom. It restrains them from punishing or in any way harming the teacher's right to teach both sides of these various controversies.
Now, when you say both sides, you're not talking about like evolution versus intelligent design, both sides. What do you mean by both sides of these controversies?
Both sides on the question of whether or not the standard orthodox account of Darwinian evolution is as strong as its proponents say. There is an opposing point of view advocated by the Tennessee legislators and also by other groups that would have both the weaknesses of this account presented to the students alongside the strengths. So in effect, it's for, this policy and law is for teaching more evolution, not less, and not teaching alternative positive theory like intelligent design.
Right. Now, if this bill is really promoting teaching more about evolution, that sounds really common sense to most people. Why are so many Darwinists and even other people who may not understand what the bill is really about, why are they so opposed to it and so worried? Where's the opposition coming from?
Well, the first thing that you'll notice if you watch the floor debate, if you have the time, and if you don't, I can sum up for you, is that a lot of the antagonists toward the bill simply don't understand what it means. They haven't apparently taken the time to really look at what the bill does. It's not initiating a new curriculum. It's not endowing teachers with the right to teach creationism. It's not endowing teachers with the right to even teach intelligent design.
Right, because teachers can't bring anything else into the science classroom other than what's already there, correct?
That's right. And in fact, the bill also says, as a nod to the judges who will be later interpreting it, that the bill is not protecting the teaching of anything other than scientific information. And then further says that the bill should not be construed as protecting the teaching of either religious or anti-religious or non-religious material. It's strictly a bill about protecting science teachers teaching scientific facts and theory. And that's it.
Now, who supports this bill? You mentioned the debate on the House floor. Who brought this forth and who are the people testifying in favor of the bill?
Well, Representative Dunn was the proponent of the bill. He ably defended and explained the bill to his fellow House members. He took testimony from science educators and scientists about the merits of the bill. And on the recommendation of these experts, the Tennessee House passed the bill 70-23, which is a pretty solid victory for this bit of legislation. The proponents then, of course, would be the Tennessee House.
Right.
Now, having voted for it, a primary proponent of the bill, and hopefully it'll be passed in the Senate as well and then signed by the governor.
Right, because that's the next step from here. Now, does it have a chance in the Senate? What's moving forward? What does this look like?
Hard to say, truthfully. We don't actually have a lot of information at this point on.
Wait, don't we have people who are working buried deep underground in these networks, working with all these legislators and conceiving of these plots to sneak intelligent design into the classroom, Josh? Like, well, don't we have...
No, I don't think I have any senators on speed dial, if that's what you're suggesting. No, we don't know because we're not legislators ourselves. We're not policymakers. We are simply a think tank. And when we're told that our help is needed, we provide it. We're definitely not the horse leading this cart.
Right. You wouldn't say that this is Discovery Institute's bill.
Not at all. No.
Right.
This is originating from the science educators and legislators in the state of Tennessee, which is where it should be.
Right. But this bill does have some connection in that it's based on our model academic freedom legislation. Would that be correct?
That goes back to what I said earlier in that when we're asked, we can provide support. And we have provided this model legislation upon which the current bill takes its shape and form.
Right. So we provide the resources and then legislators can use them as they will. And obviously this language and the way they interpreted it and what they put forth is not something we had a hand in any part of. Would you say?
No. The Tennessee House has deliberated amongst themselves on the exact wording and also on whether or not to pass. Obviously, the Discovery Institute doesn't have any legislative function or ability or influence.
Now, you've given us some of the rundown of the people who support the bill. Who is it who's been opposing the bill? What did they have to say on the House floor?
Well, that goes back to one of my earlier points, which was a lot of the opposition arises from folks in the community, constituents of these representatives who simply did not read the bill or perhaps read it and just didn't understand it and felt as though and perhaps misread it as though it was permitting the teaching of creationism or even intelligent design. Now, I should say really quickly here that obviously the teaching of creationism was ruled unconstitutional, and that's reflected in the bill when the bill says this bill should not be construed as the teaching of religion. But the teaching of intelligent design, we would say, is not unconstitutional, yet that's not what this bill does. It doesn't permit the teaching of intelligent design. It permits the teaching of, again, the strengths and weaknesses of the Darwinian case.
Right.
Now, folks who don't understand that, who think that the bill permits either the teaching of intelligent design or creationism, those folks tend to get upset, and they've sent nasty emails to legislators. I think Representative Dunn mentioned that he had been sort of the recipient of, bullying messages from folks who simply don't understand what this bill does.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah. That's unfortunate. Now, why is this bill necessary in a state like Tennessee? Why have the bill at all when there are so many other issues to debate?
Well, that was actually one of the issues raised by some of the, by the other legislators. They felt that perhaps this wasn't, given Tennessee's economic state, of top priority type issue. But if you are trying to teach kids who will one day be our knowledge workers about how to engage in scientific reasoning, it's got to start early. And they have to have the freedom by way of their teachers to explore both sides of every question. That is sort of the essence of the scientific endeavor, is to be able to explore, have the freedom to check both the strengths and weaknesses of a proposition. So this, granted, is a long-term focused bill. We're thinking about our kids being globally competitive in the scientific fields.
As all education legislation
exactly,
always is.
Exactly. Right. So it's not going to put, a turkey in the pot tomorrow.
Right.
But it will make Tennessee a better, more able to compete globally in science and technology 20, 30, 40 years down the road.
Are students not performing well now? Are students not, why is this necessary for students now?
Well, I mean, as a general matter, and I can't speak to the case of Tennessee in particular, but as a general matter, it's fairly well known that having the freedom to go wherever the evidence leads without having these doctrinaire and orthodox impositions and barriers placed upon the young free mind, not having those obstacles is what permits the flourishing of scientific discovery, serendipity, and all that. Minds have to be free. So this goes to that. This goes to the freeing of young minds by freeing teachers to lead them in that expedition.
Well, very good. The freeing of young minds. It's kind of hard to argue against that.
I would say so.
Thanks for joining us, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
For ID the Future, this is Annika Smith with the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture.
ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com. Want to spend your summer studying intelligent design in Seattle for free? Discovery Institute is raising up the next generation of scientists and scholars with the 2011 summer seminars for college juniors, seniors, and graduate students. The two intensive 9-day learning opportunities run from July 8th through 16th. This year, in addition to the seminar focusing on ID and the natural sciences, the Center for Science and Culture announces the new C.S. Lewis Fellows Program on Science and Society, which will explore the growing impact of science on politics, economics, social policy, bioethics, theology, and the arts. Discovery Institute will pay expenses for students who are accepted into the programs, and applications are open now through April 22, 2011. For more information, visit www.discovery.org/STEM. That's www.discovery.org/SEM.